Hi, John.
Hey there, Alex.
You know what I hate?
What's that?
Arthur Frayne.
Ooh, don't even get me started on that guy. Smuggling grain. The other things he's done.
Tricking brutals into believing the penis is evil.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, pretending to be the just and beautiful god, Zardoz.
Zardoz.
Zardoz speaks to you, his chosen ones.
Yeah, so John, we watched Zardoz.
We did.
Let me ask you about Zardoz. Have you seen this movie before?
I have.
Okay, yeah, so have I. I was somewhat, I had figured you would be familiar, but in the back of my head, it's like, I kind of hope he hadn't seen it. Because this would be the first time you watch this thing.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I've seen it in about, I don't know, maybe 20 years. And, oh boy, it's as weird as I remember it.
Yeah, it is, it's out there.
So, I don't even know how you talk about this movie. I guess, so it's directed by the guy that did Deliverance.
Yes, but John Borman, who I guess was going to do, make a Lord of the Rings movie. And then that fell through. And so he made Zardoz.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, that somewhat makes sense, because this movie is overly complicated in its mythology.
Yes.
And I could see how he's trying to Lord of the Rings it a little bit. Like, if you get into deep Lord of the Rings, where they talk about the Second Age and the First Age and the blue wizards that came from the Western land or the Eastern lands, and you know, like all that weird, like the deep Cimmerils and all that deep lore, I think that I could kind of see maybe he just read a bit too much of that and somehow came up with this. Which, by the way, I'm pretty sure this is going to be two movies in a row, because we just discussed a Godzilla movie for the Patreon, available at patreon.com/AlexBolin. You should sign up. We've got special content on there. But two movies in a row where, boy, do I love this movie, and I'm pretty sure you hate it.
I don't know how I feel about this movie. I don't hate, like, it's a mess.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no,
it's ridiculous. But, like, man, they went for it. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
John Borman fell asleep reading a bunch of different sci-fi books and, yeah, and put them all together in one movie. And I think it's very, like, the structure of it is very bizarre. Like, you feel like it could be streamlined. Like, the story could be told so much better that's there. And there's just some weird stuff that maybe shouldn't be there. I don't know. But it's got a lot of stuff here. It's a weird buffet of stuff that I'm not sure I like, of expired seafood, but it's still like, I'm kind of on board.
There's a lot of stuff I like. There's a lot of stuff I don't like, but I'm happy this movie exists.
Yeah.
It's kind of my main takeaway is, you know, at some point, some 20-year-old, let's say, somebody that was born, you know, the 9/11s out there, someone that was born on the day of 9/11.
Osama bin Laden.
Yes, Osama bin Laden. It was born and then went back in time. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, it's a whole story. But, like, some 20-year-old will stumble on this film right now and have to deal with this. And that just makes me happy. If, like, somebody with that life experience of, they grew up in the world that we live in now, where everything is, I'm not saying, like, it's for a bad thing, but, like, everything is a lot more nice and clean.
Mm-hmm. Managed.
Not managed. And not as brutal, and them having to deal with this is kind of interesting, because, like, that's sort of this movie's almost prescient, because I think a person in the generation that's coming up right now is going to deal with this movie in a way that, like, they're not for good reasons, and they're better people than us, but they haven't been inured to this level of awful. And I don't mean, like, filmmaking.
Yeah.
Like, this is a rapey, gross, misogynistic, also whatever the opposite of misogynistic movie is, where it's, because, boy, are they, like, Zed, a.k.a. Sean Connery, is just a sex object of the whole movie. which is a weird inversion, but also not in a good way. Like, so just the mind-blowing nature of this has not gone down, and I think it's actually probably worse. Like, I want to find, like a 20-year-old that's never heard of this movie and make them watch it and let us interview them afterwards.
And then have them cancel it. And then we can go on Tucker Carlson and show how they're trying to take Zardoz away from us.
I don't think they'd cancel it. I think they'd be generally disturbed by it. Like, this isn't, like, this... This movie's not okay, like, but in a great way. Like it's it reminds me of who's El Topo? What's that guy?
Jodorowsky.
The Dune guy. This reminds me of Jodorowsky a little bit. I'm just like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening here?
Yeah, and that's something that I was trying to think about when watching this too. Is that like putting this in the contextualizing it, putting it in like the time that it came out, and just how bizarre this has got to be. You're like, oh, Sean Connery, I love James Bond. Here I am watching this, and I love that, and I kind of wish more stuff like that existed today, because I think even when with some rare exceptions, it still happens, but I feel so often like when you have these things that are like, oh, this guy's totally from the mind of this guy, this is a very specific thing, it still is so derivative of a lot of stuff. Like, there's a certain style that like people are attracted to, and sort of the zeitgeist at the time. And while this might be the case then as well, it still feels like so unique and strange and quirky in a very not manufactured way. And I think that's something I like about it. And like, for as pretentious as it is, I kind of enjoy that.
Yeah, it would be hard to make a movie like this now, and not even just like what it's about, but like the references that it's calling upon and the culture it's calling upon is for the most part forgotten. So like, there's a lot of kind of, and I can't name the influences, but like, there's multiple scenes with like mirrors that are in a pyramid,
mm-hmm.
which there's a lot of movies in the 60s and 70s that had that, and mostly just shitty movies that I can't come up with. Actually, I think Jodorowsky has that in one of them, but like, there's a lot of this kind of weird 60s, 70s counterculture kind of imagery that.
Yeah. Psychedelia stuff. Sure.
Is somewhat forgotten, but sort of remembered, where it's, this sits in this weird kind of like, hinterland of this movie surviving above a lot of the others that are probably better,
mm-hmm.
while it's referencing them is this weird. It's like, it almost reminds me of like trying to watch The Family Guy if you've never seen a sitcom, where it's like, oh, I don't understand any of these references. So it's like this, oh, there's all these filmic references in this, and you're like, I don't even know what you're. I was born. What, 6 years after this movie came out, and this movie's influenced about 10 years before it. So it's just like, ah.
Well, I kind of like some of that, I guess, because it's such a throwback, and there's no CG and stuff like that. The more, metaphorical way of doing some things, like towards the end of the movie, when the Eternals are bestowing their knowledge on them through touch teaching or whatever. And it's just this whole long montage of characters in front of a black background lit only by the projection of like data or art or something on them. And that's supposed to be representing Sean Connery learning these things. And it was just so out there, rather than, having him be like, he's flying through a matrix of numbers and he's seeing a bull and a bear fight.
Oh,
it was
God,
something. It
yeah.
was just something like... Like, it just made me feel like this is what am I trying to say here? Like, it's a bit more interesting when you don't have those tools. You're like, well, how am I going to show this? And I like that. I like that the way they did that. There's still, this movie is really boring and sloppy in a lot of different ways. But there's definitely cool stuff in here that I like.
I didn't find it boring. I not that I disagree with you, but I didn't find it boring. Sloppy, there's no. If anybody says this movie isn't sloppy, then they're just being.
Yeah, I think even the director has he used a fancy term to describe it, Farragut or something. Lucas, like, I guess in the commentary for the DVD, he's like, why? I don't understand how I made this movie. Farrago, I don't know. Farrago. When I see the film now, I'm astonished at my hubris in making this extraordinary Farrago.
Yeah, I don't know what that word means.
Yeah, I don't know. Sounds like something they say on Sopranos, so I automatically think it's cool.
Gabagool!
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it is a very strange movie. There's also the, so how do we, I don't, this, I'm stymied by how we talk about this. Cause usually on the show we go try to do the plot from start to finish and then talk about it on along the way. I don't know that I mean, I took more notes about, okay, let's do this. John.
Mm-hmm.
I am Arthur Frayne, and I am Zardoz. I have lived 300 years, and I long to die. But death is no longer possible. I am immortal. I present now my story. Full of mystery and intrigue. Rich in irony and most satirical. We are introduced to the year 2233, in which Zardoz, a floating stone head, meets Brutals, men in red spandex riding horses and shooting guns. To wit, Zardoz says this, "You have been raised up from brutality to kill the Brutals who multiply. And our legion, to this end, Zardoz, your god, gave you the gift of the gun. The gun is good. The penis is evil. The penis shoots seeds and makes new life to poison the earth with a plague of men, as once it was. But the gun shoots death and purifies the earth of the filth of the Brutals. Go forth and kill. Zardoz has spoken." And then Zed points his gun down the barrel of the camera and kills the audience.
Yeah, I got one quick question for Arthur Frayne.
Yeah.
Why'd you draw a pussy on your chin?
The question from the audience, full of mystery and intrigue, wants to know why my face, so masculine, has a vulva drawn upon. I would say this, I am the Riddler.
Yeah, it's because the movie starts with him, his face. With him like in the distance, and he's like wearing this, I don't know, little headdress thing.
Yeah, see, I think they're trying to evoke like an Egyptian thing.
Yeah, but it's kind of funny. It made me think of Dune, where it's like, here's this floating head to describe what's going to happen, or, you know, give you a setup for what's going on in the movie. But as he gets closer, you're like, that's not a goatee at all. What is that? And he gets up close, and I don't know if it's supposed to be like a space goatee or something, but it's just it's a drawing of a vagina on his face.
I think he was just drawing a goatee on, and it looks kind of vagina-like.
It's extremely...
It's my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
That was the only note I had. That's it for the movie.
I have so many notes. Like, the whole... Like, I just kept taking notes because I'm like, I know what's... Here's the thing. Is a lot of people complain that this movie doesn't make any sense, which I think is just lazy watching. Because I think this movie makes complete sense.
It does.
It's just batshit. I mean, what the sense is a really fucking weird movie.
It's out there, and like the way some of the revelations are stacked, I guess. You're like, yeah, I know. I don't know. Like, there's some stuff where it's like, oh, turns out it's this. And it's like, yeah, we already knew that. Like, this should have happened a long time ago. Why are we just finding out about this now? Or like, this doesn't seem as important now.
Now, let me ask you this, John. Zed, as we're introduced to in the beginning of the film, is Sean Connery. Did you feel a kinship to him? Because he woke up confused in a vat of corn and then ended up shooting his own god. Now, did you feel like this was some kind of metaphor talking directly to you for your kind of growing up in the church and then eventually kind of losing your faith and, you know, metaphorically? And, you know, I think the lawsuit is over. We can talk about how you shot your pastor, literally killing your own god.
Right. Well, he wasn't the my god. He was my principal at school. And there was a lot more going on than just waking up in grain. But I don't want to get into that on the show.
Yeah, you know, I see corn and I think, you know, Kansas, where John's from.
Yep. Yep, Kansas. The exact same state as all the other states that are there.
So Arthur Frayne is shot and flies away, which is we can't go with everything weird.
Well, it is kind of bizarre because it does seem like Zed like secrets himself away in the giant stone head. He's sneaking around in there, looking around, and he sees this guy moving, and he gets behind him and shoots him. And yeah, it's this Arthur Frayne guy you saw at the beginning. And he's like, oh, that was dumb. You need me. I could tell you stuff. And then he just lets go. And he sort of flies out of the mouth of the thing.
It's just weird because he like pauses there, which is how, you know, physics work. But whatever. That's what I'm trying to stop myself. Like, I can't focus on all the weird shit. But so he's stuck in this head with potatoes and corn and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's naked people in plastic bags.
Yes.
And I was just thinking, like, I think in another life, or, you know, just I get an itch. I could make a decent enough actor. Like, not. I certainly couldn't be a leading man or anything, but like, you know, just a comedic, you know, kind of whatever, like just a seventh on the bill kind of, like, I could sufficiently talk myself into delivering lines. Even if I were like a foxy 70s lady, how the hell do you stand there dead still in a plastic bag and have Sean Connery like sniffing at you and feeling your tits? How, that seems like the hardest fucking job ever.
Yeah. Well, my body's just, you know, my instrument. And I tuned it to play "Get Groped" by Sean Connery.
Ah, wow! That just—I'm so. I mean, it's obviously these are, you know, not major characters in the film or whatever. Just acting wise, I know it's probably super easy. Any actor is listening. It's like, yeah, that's just what you do. Just to me, that seems like either just giggling or just that seems the hardest goddamn thing in the universe.
Well, I am increasingly in awe of actors that are in like the dumbest shit ever, and. Just say the dumbest shit ever, but still like do a good job at it.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it's just their job. But I, for me, I'm like, I don't want to, why would I want to do this? I wouldn't want to do, even though, you know, most of the stuff I make is garbage, but, it's kind of no different in that way of like, well, this isn't everything I'm doing isn't, you know, some heartfelt piece of my soul that I'm giving my all to, but still it just seems weird to me that like, why are you trying? This is an episode of Supernatural.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Anytime I see that, who's that guy from the Coen brothers who's in Miller's, Joe Polito or something like that?
Oh, John Polito.
John Polito.
Yeah.
He's in a lot of garbage, but like he shows up for it. And it's just like, well, good for you, dude. Like you really, that's some professionalism right there.
Yeah. It's like, somehow baffling to me that these people could be professional.
No, but it's such a hard, like I could see being professional on a Coen brothers set, but not on a, there's a guy in a rubber mask and a naked lady in a plastic bag set, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So naked ladies in bag, they land and Sean Connery escapes and they're in like a idyllic kind of village area. Kind of looks like the past. There's a grain mill. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, that kind of thing. And Sean Connery sneaks in and inside of the house there, he basically sneaks into Arthur Frayne, a.k.a. Zardoz's house, and he finds his magical projection ring, which is kind of like their, almost their iPhone, which, not bad prediction.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it, like, it's a networked computer system that you ask questions to, knows everything about you, knows how your house is, knows what your needs are. Not the worst predictive thing from 1974.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty lifelike to now. Yeah, I mean,
it's the goddamn future. I mean, at least in, you know, 6 years when it is in a ring or on a watch, you know, this is one of those movies that like looks stupid. Like, oh, that future would never happen. And as the futures come, it's like, oh shit. So he's there. He finds this ring. One of the things I liked about that scene is, they use future spelling, which I like, which I like kind of English turning into kind of a pigeon weird internet language. It's just,
yes. Yeah.
Again, nicely done. Nice predictive algorithm, Mr. John Borman.
Yeah. But, technically the, thing was projecting so that we could read it. It would be backwards to him. You know, when he's seeing the projection of the ring, it's like, it's written, we're seeing him and he's projecting it and it's written from like right to left. So it's not actually how
it's projecting. Oh, no, because it's projected on a wall. So, and he's reading it the same way.
There's one where he's projecting it on the screen. Like, he's basically projecting it at the screen, and it's...
That's a good point, yeah.
It does not matter, but it's...
It does. This does. The movie's flawed, and no one should watch it again.
Yep.
Now, I mean, that's the problem with this movie, not all the other stuff.
That's it.
So...
That and Pussy Chin.
Yeah. Oh, Pussy Chin. How we missed the... Oh, man, I don't even know what do we talk about? So he goes to a lake and there's a weird lady in the lake and it turns out that that's a vortex. And then the vortex, he tries to shoot. And then the weird lady's like, you came into the stone head. It's the only path into the vortex. And then he wakes up on a table looking all sexy. Sean Connery oozes sexuality in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that dude is 70s sexy in a level that I don't think has ever happened before or afterwards. And not just because it's the 70s. He's hairy. He probably has some kind of musk cologne. Like, he is... That dude is like a sexual dynamo.
Which is funny because he apparently replaced Burt Reynolds.
I could see Burt Reynolds in that, mostly because of the hair. Yeah.
Yeah. But like at the same time, like I got, because, you know, Burt Reynolds having worked with John Borman on Deliverance, I think not, and this is, I'm not trying to knock Burt Reynolds here, but I think like in terms of having that like super sexiness, but bringing that, eventually revealed like super knowledge, I buy that more with Sean Connery than I do with Burt Reynolds.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Like Burt Reynolds is a great sexy everyman, but like, yeah, when it turns out later that like, oh, it turns out Zed is actually super smart too. You're like, aha. Okay. That works. That tracks. But the actress Sarah Kestelman that plays May, that's like his like main point of contact.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Freckles. Like, yeah. 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 She's the best.
Yeah. Very unique looking.
Yes.
In a way that serves this movie well. And this isn't a knock at her appearance, whatever, but she has a particular look to her. And I think it works well for this movie.
Yeah, no, she's terrific. Her and Charlotte Rampling, the other kind of like main lady in this movie, mm-hmm. are one, both like just foxy as foxy can be, but like mm-hmm. they look like humans, which
mm-hmm.
I know this is such a stupid thing to say, but I kind of forget. You forget what humans look like in movies, unless you go back to at least the 80s.
No, and this is the thing I think I've talked about on the show before too. Like, there are so many things now when I look back at like, you know, like, hey, remember the 90s or all this stuff, or, you know, you see a certain person like, wow, that person is actually really attractive. And I didn't think about it then because that's just how you looked when you're on TV.
Yeah.
You know, like it's when you're just kind of, it's like, you know, do fish know that they're actually in water? Kind of thing, where it's just like, yeah, I'm not thinking about it because it's just, that's what TV people look like. And so because this is out of that realm of like, this is traditionally what the characters in movies look like now, it's a little bit more striking. And also in particularly in the case of this movie, which is, you know, largely this class narrative of the rich versus the poor, in a lot of ways, having these very like, they're very fitting for that, these very prim and proper British women. And I think that that context as well helps sell it. Because it's not something that, what I'm trying to say here, like, they seem very much of that cast.
Yeah, yeah.
That,
yeah, they're kind of upper
and also
crust.
Sort of like, yeah, yeah. Upper crust, yeah, and also like seemingly untouchable,
yeah,
in this whole thing that kind of makes it, I think, adds to that.
Yeah, Charlotte Rampling, especially, she's got that kind of mm-hmm. aristocratic vibe, and she still has it now.
Oh, totally.
She's been a working actress. You know, obviously my entire life since this movie predates me, but I've, you know, she's one of those that lady actresses that's just been around forever.
Mm-hmm. Apparently had a thing for Sean Connery and they didn't get to have a love scene and she was bummed about it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like, she has a quote and, trigger warning, I guess. And I don't say that like sarcastically, cause this is kind of gross, but this is from her. Her quote is that she was really disappointed that she didn't get to be raped by Sean Connery.
Yep.
Which, I mean, again, it was the 70s, language was different, but yeah, yeah. I mean, frankly, I kind of get it a little bit, like just mm-hmm. a little, like, you know, that, like in the future is, I mean, the future is equality has been achieved. There is no sexism anymore
mm-hmm.
in their society. Men and women are equal. If not, women are even more equal to 1984, this thing. So like the kind of. The way to be kink is to imagine bestial rape. I think it's more interesting now than probably it was in 74, where mm-hmm. this is probably just some weird creepy shit. But now it actually right. is an interesting thought experiment of what does the world look like post misogyny? You know, like does that become a thing? You know,
yeah, there's definitely a through line of human nature in the face of death. Because so much of the problems in this society, or the seeming problems in the society, is because no one can die anymore. And it's not just that they're bored, because there are. There's the whole race of them that are the apathetics that just like stopped even moving, basically.
I've never, ever in my life felt more akin to a movie character than that. That is exactly what I would do.
Yeah. Well, I, and so there's, yeah, there's the apathetics that just like, that can't even be bothered anymore. Part of the reason they're so excited about Zed is because like sex doesn't really exist anymore.
Well, guys can't get hard anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause there's no procreate, like you're not going to procreate because you're all immortal. And so the drive in terms of this movie, the drive to procreate is gone. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'd rather just vote on things and eat green bread. And then here comes this virile sex man who kills, and people are like, hey, all right.
Yeah, this is out of order, but that scene where one of the apathetics tastes his sweat, and he's so hot and sexy that it wakes her up from her torpor.
Right. Well,
is
the
wow.
thing is, though, it's unsaid in the movie, but they do mention that he's the product of, he's sort of a Kwisatz Haderach, that he's a product of like specific breeding. And what that specific breeding did was made him sweat Monster Energy drink.
Yeah.
But because Monster Energy didn't exist yet, but John Borman, brought it into being with his mind, he couldn't just say Monster because people would get confused. But when he later went on to invent the company, when you watch it now, you're like, I get it now. It's probably from the white can.
I'm embarrassed that I didn't pick up on that.
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, that's why we have two hosts on the show. Is that, sometimes you come out with knowledge and sometimes I come out, I know a little bit more about kind of occult stuff. You know a little bit more about, Fred Durst and Monster Energy Drink. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you hit it.
Right. Middle. You're like, well, what poem is this like? Or is this like an episode of Steven Universe? And then I'm like, let me talk about real shit.
Yeah.
Monster Energy Drink being sweated by Sean Connery.
You're like, well, let me think about the Dark Carnival and mm-hmm. Family. Yeah. And Monster Energy Drink.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Monster, I like that. So one of the characters in this movie is Friend, which again, 1970s. I like how this guy's, he's ugly handsome.
Well, he's British.
It's one of those like, yeah, that guy wouldn't be cast in that role these days. Like, I mean, he's not ugly, but he's like a guy. But there's handsome British people. Fucking, yeah.
But like, that qualified as a handsome British guy.
Yeah, I guess so. I like how, he's the very bored guy. He's up there with Arthur Frang
mm-hmm.
of, I'm just bored. I need something to happen. And I like how excited he is by Sean Connery, but he also him calling him like, oh, you monster, my sly old monster, you. I like his kind of vocal shitheadedness was very charming to me.
Yeah, well, he's still casually brutal to those he, deems lesser than. Yeah, I do like that guy a lot. And it's extremely silly. I'm going to go ahead and get out of order here as well. The punishment in this society, because you can't die, is that you can somehow get aged. And there are these I believe they're called the renegades. And they're people that have been, for various crimes or whatever, have been aged and now live in this old folks home where it's constantly New Year's Eve. And I don't understand that. But, or it's like the party from The Shining.
Dude, I wrote The Shining. Yeah. It is exactly the party for The Shining. And I don't care if I don't understand it. I love it so much.
But my absolute favorite part of this is that at a certain point, like it's revealed that Friend has committed Operation Mind Crime against the rest of the group by, not following their directions and being a jerk or whatever, not wanting to go to the second level in meditation.
Yeah, the second level of meditation and committing what did they call it? Psychic violence.
Yeah. And so they age him. And when Sean Connery gets into the renegade area and finds him, he is half aged, like literally down the center, like the old carnival half man, half woman thing. Half of him is old. And that doesn't make any sense, nor do they ever try to explain it, but they go for it. And hats off to you, movie.
It's so good. So the first guy we see, that their rings are broadcasting that there's a trial for, I didn't get the guy's name, but he's on trial for not putting out bad aura into their second meditation chakra. Yeah,
he kind of looks like a nicer version of the handyman guy from Trading Spaces that went on to have the whole Extreme Home Makeover show, Tyler or something. I don't know. That's all I could think of when I was looking at him.
Yeah, those words were... were English and came in order.
If you have watched TV that's not Steven Universe, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I definitely haven't. So I did like that because that, again, this movie being predictive. Because, hey, look, somebody getting up in their liberal safe space and breaking out truth. Sounds like somebody got canceled, Sean.
No, it's
is what I'm saying.
As I correctly said, it predicted the Queensryche album Operation Mindcrime, which was about this very same thing.
Yeah, but that's British bullshit. I'm talking about Make America Great Again.
Oh, yeah. So was Queensryche.
How was it? Oh, yeah, he gets blah, blah, blah. Sorry, I don't know. This movie is so confusing. Yeah, I have so many notes.
Yeah, one of the many threads, and this is a minor one, but yeah, there's this background story because it happens, you get like two broadcasts about it where they're like, okay, this guy's on trial and he's been, you know, harboring some dangerous thoughts. And he gets on there and is like, hey, all my thoughts were just constructive criticism and I've been researching society and holding up a mirror to it. So
it's just society.
It's just this, like, it's nothing personal. And then, you know, later when it comes back, he's like, nah, fuck you guys. I hate you all. You all suck.
His you all suck double middle fingers walking away is great speech.
Yeah.
So.
And Friend is like, hell yeah, I'm going to vote for that guy to be innocent.
Oh, yeah. So Friend also at this point has a conversation with his fellow immortals. And he speaks in a foreign language, which is just reverse speech.
Oh, yeah, that was never weird.
And it never shows back up the rest of the movie, which is fucking... All right, so that's when we meet the malicious and vicious immortals. And those are the old people in the Shining dance scene.
Mm-hmm.
They're opposed to the apathetics, which are the kind of just stand there being apathetic. You don't need to explain that. That's when Zed is in this barn with an apathetic, and he's looking at her, and he goes, oh, fuck it. So he just feels her tit, just straight up her shirt. Friend is like, you can have her if you'd like. And our lead character, which, by the way, oh, we completely fucking... God, this movie's so hard to talk about. This is the hardest movie ever. It's... When Zed is first brought into the future world inside of the Vortex, they probe his memory, and the memory he holds onto, his keystone memory, is him raping a girl in a net.
Yes.
Our lead character, our hero of the film, his main memory, the thing he's holding onto as his most important moment, is him raping a woman.
Well, which is like very much a, I take as a reference to the science fiction novel, The Star's My Destination by Alfred Bester, I think. And Gully Foyle was the main character of that. And he's like just a dude who gets like screwed over and left for dead in space. And then goes on this quest for revenge that, yeah, at a certain point he's a rapist and stuff as well. And that was kind of in response to this, like, all these space stories are about, like, Captain, you know, Lance Fancy Man and his boy sidekick. It's like, what if we just had a complete son of a bitch be a hero? And so there's that background to it, but it's also interesting because the whole thing of Zardoz being like, the gun is good, the penis is evil, and he's like, well, I raped her in his name. Does not, you know, like, what? I don't recall Zardoz asking for that.
Yeah, this is true. Also, Zardoz specifically said the penis is evil. And yeah, unless you're raping her in some way that I'm unfamiliar with,
yeah,
you're doing it. Yeah, so.
And then, but then, like, as more gets revealed, you kind of realize, like, oh, that's why he's having this memory at them. Because he's kind of like, it's a little unclear at certain times how much Sean Connery is fucking with them and how much he's like at their mercy. Because I feel like that paradigm shifts occasionally.
Whether he's kind of flexing and going, mm-hmm, look what I'm capable of, and just showing to, you know, it's a shitting on a table at the Queen's table.
Like later when they're showing him pornography and he's like, no, I'm not reacting.
Oh, we'll get to that. Wait, no, don't spoil that. That needs to be a whole fucking conversation. So anyway, cycling back to where we were. Sean Connery meets this apathetic, feels her tit up, and Friend is like, oh yeah, go ahead. So he picks her up and just ragdolls her about 6 feet under a
mm-hmm
straw pile, which was hilarious. And then starts to, you know, wants to rape her, but can't because she's not fighting back.
Yeah.
That's the hero of the movie we're mm-hmm watching, Sean. It's hard, like, it's hard for as a well, I guess as a human, I was going to say as a male, but like it's probably easier for women to remember this. But Connery is charming and he's handsome and he's written as a sex symbol in this. And you forget that he's not even like, there's no debate. He's like a rapist. That's like his.
Yeah.
It's this movie.
He's a raping murderer.
This movie, but at least the murder kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like the murder was in his value system as taught by what he believed to be God.
Oh, so was the rape, though, apparently.
No, the only thing we know about Zardoz is he says the penis is evil. So if he's raping with his dick, he is doing wanton evil.
Well, I think it also wasn't helped by the fact that he then like turns to the camera and is like, if I wanted this, I would have just gotten married. And then like it does the iris down.
Yeah, There's cuts that could be made to this movie, but I wouldn't touch that because there's not a lot of comedy in it. I thought that was
it needed more levity.
The wacky horn I thought really added something. The wah wah wah. I thought that was nice. Yeah,
they were right to bring in Joss Whedon to punch this up.
So the next thing I have down, John, do you want to tell them about the dick studies scene?
Yeah, so as we said, because the urge to procreate does not exist anymore. Like, sex basically doesn't exist for them.
Well, it doesn't. I'm not trying to be Alex.
Basically,
here.
But yeah.
They established that men can no longer get hard anymore.
Yeah.
They literally don't remember how, and they cannot procreate. The only way they can have new generations is... genetically cloning the current ones into
growing them into weird plastic bubbles which I love that set because they're there several times where like they're just lined by the walls or just these plastic walls and you see these bodies just suspended growing new clones something like that, but it's very creepy and I really like it. But
it's also really 70s. Low budget, so it's like it's like the kind of Doctor Who-y. I like it.
Well, particularly when you see the baby Arthur Frayne being reborn, and it's like just a doll in a plastic bag that they made wet. It's great. So Consuela, Charlotte Rampling, is giving this whole speech, like, look, we've all seen a dick, but we don't know how dicks go from this, and it's a drawing of a dick to this, and it's a drawing that's hard. And like, but this guy can do it, so we're told. So... Let's try to make this happen. Let's see what's what. Let's light this candle. And they start showing pornography stuff on the screen. And he's not reacting. He's just not. He's no. And so she's kind of pissed that this isn't happening. And then I think the implication is that he starts looking at her and getting a boner.
Oh, that's not the implication. No, he stares her down.
Yeah. And then people start reacting because they don't, you know, you don't hear a slide whistle is what I'm saying.
Well, no. There's a background. So there's a metric kind of bouncing. What do you call that? Like
a line.
There's just a line. There's a better word for it, but like there's a line that basically shows his turgidness.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's watching soapy tits and mud wrestling, the turgid line is kind of not doing anything.
Yeah, and that's hilarious. Yeah, the porn that they show him is just like close up on soapy boobs and then like slow motion women mud wrestling.
Yes. But then he stares down at Charlotte Rampling.
Uh-huh.
And you see the line, it's like a stereoscope kind of thing. You see the line going nuts. And then you see her eyes look directly at his cock.
Mm.
And they go, oh shit, because they haven't seen an erection in a couple hundred years.
I needed the slide whistle. I didn't get it without the slide whistle.
I think they used their slide whistle budget in the earlier scene.
But the fact that he's also he knows he's doing it, you know, like you can see he's like, yeah, check this out. Yeah, I don't care about soapy boobs. Hello. Watch this happen.
Yeah,
he kind of moves from this like more in control. Like I said, like you don't know how much of it is him screwing with them, but this is real. The first real indication that he's like, yeah, I know your game. Watch me have a boner at it.
Yeah, he's flexed out, you know, and it's the first dick they've seen in a couple hundred years. Mm-hmm. I did like earlier in the film, they make reference to May and Consuela being in a relationship,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of funny because it's like, yeah, well, dicks don't work. That doesn't mean we, you know, our tongues don't. There's like a fun, like there's, you can just imagine like the kind of behind the scenes, like an industrial strength lesbianism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's industrial strength.
I forget what that's from, but it's I'm quoting something there.
Yeah. No, I think I've heard it before, but I do enjoy it. So they start, I mean, they're doing, well, not only are they doing tests on him, but Friend is also like making him be a slave, which is what actually starts the whole problem with Friend, is that he's like having, they're all having their meal and Zed is serving them and they're all like, yeah, Friend should be doing this. That's part of the job. Yeah, that's part of the agreement that we made. And that starts people getting mad at Friend. And I don't remember if this is what happens next, but this is where I'm going with it.
Yeah, this part's kind of confusing because basically, like, so Friend's getting in trouble, and then, as you talked about before, he gets sentenced to having half his face get old. Sean Connery goes to May at some point for help, very near here, because again, I don't know what the order is, and there's a terrific sequence where the special effect is May is under a sheet, and that's it.
Oh, yeah,
that's the whole special effects. It's just, he's literally under a sheet.
Yeah, that's much later, but yeah.
But what happened between, we already covered. Because the next thing that happens is he goes to the elderly place, which we already talked about earlier. I mean, yeah, unless he got something in between.
No, so much of this stuff is like a blur.
Yeah, because the Friend thing we're talking about, the next thing, Zed goes to that old people's shining place, which we talked about earlier already.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which, I mean, I guess there's more stuff there, but I mean, frankly, this movie's confusing as shit, so we don't need to go beat by beat. But the under-the-sheet thing is she forces him to open his mind, and it's like this intense thing. And he remembers this guy leading him through an old library.
Yeah, they're murdering people in a crappy village. And I love how the Brutals are always, like, wearing suits, like raggedy suits. Like they're not just dressed as peasants. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it's not
right,
just like
right.
a burlap bag, but they're wearing like ready. They almost look like, you know, Charlie Chaplin, like tramps.
Yeah.
So shoot a guy, sees a guy in a window, goes in this building, turns out to be a library. And then, yeah, this magical, these hands, like he sees them in this aisle library, and the hands like are holding up a book and they're flipping it, and then they just disappear and the book's still floating there. And it's like an alphabet book.
Yeah. And he learns how to read, and he reads basically the entire library until he finds the book,
the
most
book.
Important book. And there's a back and forth. He's like, no, I can't tell you about the book. And she's like, oh, you can tell me about the book. No, I can't see the book. Highlander. And, it turns out that the book is The Wizard of Oz, which if you put your thumb down over the Wii, anti-Nintendo rhetoric, it says Zardoz, Wizard Oz.
About a powerful man that appears as a giant floating head. Turns out it's just a guy behind the scenes.
Whoa, what the fuck? I didn't even put that together.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's what that was about.
That's
dude,
what
I thought
it was
that you picked a random book.
That and he was
I'm such an idiot. Oh God.
He was also pissed because he wanted to go back to the gold standard that was, you know, the populism presented in that book.
I hate that you know that. I hate you so much that you know there's a reading of that book that's about the anti-gold standard or whatever the fuck it was. That the yellow
brick road it was pro-gold standard. Yeah, because I mean, like, it was the kind of shit that Walter Jennings Bryant was a part of. And that's a famous Nebraskan, my man. Come on.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I forgot he's from Kansas like you. So literally not even paying attention to that you said your home state.
Just said it.
Yeah, no, I got you. Yeah, you're from Toronto. I understand.
Great, great man.
Go Maple Leafs.
Gold standard.
So that's the big reveal. Zardoz, Wizard of Oz. And I don't know what the big reveal is, since when we met Arthur the Freak, he basically says, oh, yeah, I'm Zardoz.
Well, the whole thing, like, that was added after the fact.
Okay.
John Borman, I've heard reports that the studio leaned on him to do it. I've heard reports that John Borman was just like, no, I should probably do this. But yeah, there was none of that at the beginning, but they added that after the fact.
All right, so that reveal makes a lot more sense. Because
yeah.
That reveal, it's like if the beginning of Planet of the Apes opened with, this is just Earth in the future. And then at the end they go, oh, it's been Earth all along. You know, W is Dr. Zayas, Dr. Zayas, Dr. Zayas. Okay, so that makes sense. He wakes up from that and he's like, oh my God, this is a whole thing. Consuela, Charlotte Rampling has walked in at this point, and he decides he's going to rape her because I guess he just doesn't believe in character growth.
Yeah.
Which blinds him. And this is a really cool shot where he's getting blind, but they cut to a spinning, like a spinning wheel, like a yarn spinning wheel. I don't know what those are called. It's a wheel. It spins. It's covered in yarn. It's got to be called something near those lines.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful shot. That's it. I just wanted to point that out. This movie's really well directed and it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a fucking train wreck of a weird movie, but it looks really cool.
Yeah. Honestly, I would say to people that are interested, find the trailer and watch it. Because the trailer is just a weird mind fuck and what got me interested in this movie in the first place. And it's just neat to see. But like a lot of this movie you could probably just like have on in the background of a rave. And it'd be fine.
Yeah, but, this is a great it's on at a bar kind of movie.
Yeah.
Also, if you're into areola shapes, man, this movie is there's a whole panoply of areola shapes.
I was actually just going to use that exact term, but that collective noun for areolas.
Yeah.
Honestly, areole. What it made me think of, and I think you were around for this.
When you showed me your tits and said, hey, yes. Look at the shape of my areola. Yeah, no, I was there for that.
Were you there for Robot Holocaust Day?
I mean, I saw it at the Standard about 15 times. It was on all the time back then. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there was the day that we discovered that, it was like after, it was on a bar league softball team. And we were, the game had ended. We were hanging out at the Standard, which was the bar we were playing for. And this movie, like, was, they had cable and it was on the TV and the cable. And the sound wasn't on. There weren't subtitles on. But it's this horrible, horrible movie called Robot Holocaust. But it was hilarious to watch because, like, you didn't know what was happening or whatever. And just these weird, a man is walking through a cave full of sock puppet worms in the wall. It's very bizarre. And we watched it over and over and over again. Like, I was there for several, way too many hours. And we just kept watching it. And then, like, we finally, the bar was enough. We finally watched it with sound and it was so much less exciting. this all makes sense. This all like makes some semblance of sense.
That now. Movie suffers greatly from dialogue. Yeah.
Like paying attention to it. But this is kind of the same way where it's like, you can just kind of vibe with this movie and it's fine. I still think like there's some neat stuff there, but it's a lot more going, wait, what?
Yeah.
When you're actually listening to it.
This is when the sweat wakes up the apathetics. And they act as some kind of like psychic vampire thing where they all start like leaning in on each other.
Well, they start the whole community has started to figure out like that he can kill them. Cause I think it's by this point where they like he's been introduced to the renegade that helped invent the whole thing. That like they basically constructed this tabernacle, which is the computer that runs everything. But they like erased their memories of how to construct the tabernacle so no one can know how to destroy it and or know how to like escape eternal life. And so now that's part of their whole thing is they're super excited that they might be able to die. And so there are some people that are still out. Consuela and her people are still out to get him. But then the renegades are all like, yes, you can kill us. This is great. Let's help you.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, okay. So here's another. It's, all of my notes suck because like the next note is, hey, they convinced Sean Connery to wear a wedding dress for this movie.
Was apparently a thing, too.
They snuck him out in the movie, and he's wearing a wedding dress, and it's fucking bananas.
Yeah, because he's with the Renegades, and that's the way they're... Because since Consuelo and their people are out to find him and destroy him, the Renegades want to help him. Because he's also been meeting with... I think at this point, they start to reveal that he's been genetically bred... he's smarter than the other exterminators, that Arthur Frayne has perhaps concocted this whole thing to help finally bring death to the Vortex along with Friend and the Renegades. He's hanging out with the Renegades and to smuggle him out. Yeah. They put him in a wedding dress. And I guess this was a huge thing between John Borman and Sean Connery that like, you're wearing the dress and he's wearing the dress, that kind of argument. But Sean Connery acquiesced and did it. Like he caved into his masculinity.
Oh, which is fine. He looks great in it. So they've decided that Zed's going to inseminate all of the immortals. And that is where they do the touching him to give him all of the knowledge. Oh, around here, it's revealed that they have tiny crystals embedded in their head. And that's how they, mm-hmm. Which again, as both of us being vaccinated, I believe we both know a little bit better about this.
Well, only halfway vaccinated. I don't have a full crystal yet. Yeah. I've got crystal light.
So you're going to do a semi-racist thing about jazz musicians and the Yankees.
Yes.
Oh, that was funnier than I wanted it to be. I was going for a dumb joke. About, oh, no, that actually is clever shit.
No, that's...
There's a wax museum thing that happens, and there's a cool crystal ball with a crystal, and he's looking into the crystal with a crystal ball that looks really neat.
Yes, because, like, what is it that...
I think
the tabernacle exists in the fractal light of the crystal man.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. The tabernacle is within that crystal. And then Consuelo tries to kill him.
I can't help but feel like you could watch the, like, there's a cut of Apocalypse Now that exists where Dennis Hopper's character just explains the plot of Zardoz.
Yeah.
Off the top of
100%.
His head. Like, the movie hasn't even been made yet, but he's like,
yeah,
here's the thing, man.
Wait, when's Apocalypse Now? That's got to be after this.
I think it's probably after this.
Yeah, I hope so, because... Consuelo tries to kill Zed, and Zed talks her out of it, and then woos her by quoting Nietzsche and being like, to hunt a dragon, you must become a dragon. Okay.
But the thing, and I'm going to put this to my own faults. I bought it. I was like, yeah, no, I can see why she likes him now. I don't know. It's inexplicable. My brain just went, yeah, no, that tracks. That's fine.
I could see why she'd want to fuck him. There's no doubt there. Yeah. Wanting to marry him is weird. So he basically meets the gem god inside of the gem. And they'll always save the day. I'm not going to do the Steven Universe thing, but there's a lot of gem Steven Universe things happening here.
And yeah, I mean, it's also like the end to the Lady from Shanghai, the Orson Welles movie, where it's like, or The Killing Joke, where it's, he's in a mirror funhouse, and you don't know what's real.
You know what's real is stay close to me, inside of my aura.
Inside of my aura.
Because apparently his leather-clad friends are now invaded the world and is killing everyone. And, it's delightful because everybody's like, oh my God, I want to die. And they're basically like coming to death. And it's quite nice.
But I also like how he's like moved beyond it. Like he doesn't want to do it anymore. He's like, yeah, I don't, you know, I can't. Cause he even tells that one guy like, oh, I think it's, I don't remember if it's Consuelo or whatever, where he's like, yeah, it's not me now. I don't do that.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how he wins her over, I think, at the end. It's like they realize that. So while his old gang, like, kind of kills everybody, he kind of fucks off with Consuela and hides in a cave. And then they have this weird fast forward moment, which is genuinely one of the weirdest things that's ever happened in video.
It's very strange.
I don't know why I said in video. That was a weird choice of words. But yeah, they fast forward and then, like, they die as skeletons holding hands, and then fast forward more and they're not there anymore. And I don't know. The skeletons holding hands is like, I think in Pompeii or whatever they had that, or that's like a famous archaeology thing, but then they've got the ochre paint hands on the wall too, which is the, Lascaux caves or whatever. Like, is he trying to do a, this is the world before our world and Zed is Adam and that's Eve? Like, is that what's going on here?
In a sense, I think the idea is that, like, life is returning to what it was, even though life has been what it was with the Brutals the whole time, but whatever. But yeah, that just, like, society's going to start again. Like, we're just revert, like, life finds a way, basically. But the thing with that last scene where it's like the weird time lapse of them growing old in the cave and dying is that they had to do it three different times. And Sean Connery was so pissed every time. Because I guess he doesn't like wearing like stuff on his skin.
That's got to be hours of makeup. I'd be annoyed by that too.
Yeah, it was a whole bunch. Yeah, they had to do it like it didn't, something didn't happen the first, something didn't work the first time. And the second time, like a camera assistant accidentally exposed the film. So they had to do it again.
Oh, that's annoying.
But it is this weird... like it's a very strange, like, oh, and then they died, the end. They went back to their home planet. Like this chaos is happening, and everyone in the vortex is dying, and now Consuela and Zed are a thing, and they run away, and then like, and then we live the rest of our lives in a cave, and that's fine. The end.
Yeah,
it's a very much a sigh of an ending.
You know, given the rest of the film, I feel like an ending that made more sense would be more of a letdown. Like if they had some kind of cohesive ending, it'd be like, whoa, that was weird. This movie started to make sense at the end.
Yeah, that's it's fine. It's weird, but yeah, with everything else, you're like, yeah, okay, why not? Well, particularly because the part where like, because they have a kid too, and just the one apparently, and like he's in the timeline too, and he gets up and or he grows up and he like looks at his dad and is like, oh, I'm out of here.
Yeah,
and just leaves, and then the mom's like, no, and then Sean Carter's like, I don't worry about it. Let's hold hands and become skeletons.
Yeah, I mean it's romantic. You know, that's what every girl wants is like, you know, like I want some guy to take me to prom, rape me a couple times, and then hold my hands before I become a skeleton.
It's also interesting just thinking about the time frame of this. And I mean, I think it's a little different. One second. Let me, before I try to make this point, because Zardoz was like 74, I think.
I think it's 74.
Okay. And Clockwork Orange was 71. So not too far off, but just, and I know that's not when the book was written, but you know, the original version of the book, Clockwork Orange, Alexander DeLarge, like at the, you know, he goes through the whole treatment and then is like, I'm cured. All right. And then like goes, is released, and then like runs into one of his old friends. Is like, yeah, I don't do that shit anymore. I'm grown up. And he's like, oh yeah, I guess maybe it's time for me to do that too. Of these people that have lived these life of brutality, just growing out of it. And I mean, it's not like it's something that happens naturally, but Sean Connery's character in this does that too. He's like, no, yeah, I raped and murdered, and I was kind of here to set up to kill all you guys as an act of vengeance. And, you know, but I don't really want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And I like that as a concept of like just this, it doesn't have to necessarily take this act of God or whatever, but just in the process of him learning and growing, he's like, yeah, it's just not what I'm about now. I ain't about that life,
yeah.
Says Sean Connery.
Well, you know, you're a true romantic. I can't tell you enough at home. If you haven't seen Zardoz, I very much hope you aren't hearing this sentence. I don't want anybody to have listened to this first. It is a trip. It is a weird movie. You have plenty of time on your hands. Your life hasn't gone very well. You're listening to podcasts. Just watch Zardoz. It is such a worthy endeavor if you have any interest in film. If you want to watch a good movie, boy, there's hundreds, thousands of movies you should watch before this. But if you want to watch if you want to have an experience, a filmic experience, and be very weirded out, oh boy, you should watch you some Zardoz.
If you spell magic with a K.
Hey, dude, you should watch
Zardoz.
Your fucking tits right now, boy.
If you are tired of listening to the Mortal Kombat soundtrack to the Mortal Kombat movie, put on Zardoz. If you're just a house DJ of the 90s at all, just put on Zardoz.
Babality.
Yeah. If you are tired of trying to sync up Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon with other movies, try Zardoz.
If you're just like kind of high and you're bored, you just watch Zardoz, yeah.
It's a movie, like, I can't recommend it. It's out there. Like it's its own thing. Like I said, watch the trailer. The trailer's great. But,
if you're a fan of
something else,
of areola shape, watch Zardoz.
If you're like, I'm a collector of weird boobs. Mm.
I like the droop and I like the size. Ooh, that one's got a weird dark outline. yes. Zardoz. John.
Yes.
We have been remiss in this aspect of our show. And that aspect is this. All right. So, John, is there anything you've watched recently that you liked?
I was recently given the, it was a birthday gift that finally just arrived, a box set of movies from Wong Kar-wai, most famously made Chungking Express and In the Mood for Love. I have not seen most of these, so I'm very excited. I liked Chungking Express, the only one I've seen, and so that's been that rewatched that one, and of course still like it, but just gonna go ahead and preemptively say that I like the rest of his movies. We'll see. But also I haven't watched a whole lot this week because I fell into the trap of watching a whole bunch of the Godzilla MonsterVerse movies, none of which I particularly recommend.
Wait, so, John, where can you hear a longer version narrative of how you don't recommend those?
You can hear me being correct about those movies on our Patreon, which is, I don't know the web address, patreon.com/AlexCast.
/AlexMullen.
We recorded an episode there for that. You can check that out. So I guess the other thing I'd recommend is the Everyman's Guide for Resident Evil 2 getting the Hardcore S+ from Darkness. Thank you, buddy. You helped me get the Infinite Rocket Launcher. So that's what I've watched and enjoyed.
All right. So if anybody wants to stop feeling embarrassed, let me tell you what I recommend. And boy, are you about to regret hearing me say that, because I'm recommending Harley Quinn, available on HBO Max. It is the animated Harley Quinn show. It is fucking delightful. I was not expecting to like this, which is most of my recommendations are usually, oh God, I'm going to trudge through this. But
yeah, I've heard it's a lot of fun.
It is. Kelly Cuoco, Big Bang Lady.
From the Big Bang Theory, yeah. Don't call her Big Bang Lady.
Oh, yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. Yes, the actress from the Big Bang Theory, yes. Also great at fucking. she's really good at it. Was not expecting that. I don't care about Big Bang Theory. I'm not one of those people that memes how bad it is, because if you hate the Big Bang Theory, you're just falling for the internet telling you how bad it is. I've set their episodes. It's fine. It's any other sitcom. But she's good at it. The lady that plays Poison Ivy is great. And I think it's Lake Bell. I'm not 100% sure, but she's super good. Like, there's just...
Oh, I always enjoy seeing Lake Bell and things. Yeah, so.
It's super great. Like, they do slow build character building. Like, Harley breaking up with Joker is the inciting incident. And her kind of wanting to go back to him is this keep, like, calling back. It actually does, like, a really good job of kind of building the psychology of the characters. And it's beyond that. There's some one-off, just dumb, fun shows. It's Ron Funches plays King Shark, which is kind of delightful. Ron Funches is a delightful man.
Yeah, I had the very, I don't know if rare, but extreme delight. I was able to make him laugh once, and that was just perfect. Whether or not he was just politely doing it, whatever. I got that sound to come out of him, and it was wonderful. He was a very nice man.
Where the hell did you meet Ron Funches?
A friend of mine was very involved with the local Portland comedy scene, which he was a part of. And he was recording an audition tape for, I believe, what later was for a character in Ant-Man. Don't quote me on that. But like, I helped him like edit out some stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. That.
She was interning at the place I was working at the time. Shouts out to Rayshawn. She's great. But yeah, I made a stupid joke about, I don't even remember what, but it made him laugh. And like I said, whether or not he's being polite or whatever, he's got such a great laugh that it made me very happy.
No, he seems like a sweet man. He's one of those.
But the King Shark thing makes me think of, and this is an aside, and we'll probably end up doing it because of the fucking nature of this nonsense, but that trailer for the Suicide Squad 2.
Yeah.
This is... Because I know that King Shark is in it, and I know it's not his fault, but the thing, like, from the beautifully twisted mind of James Gunn has never made me want to watch a movie less.
I was going to text you that. Like, literally, the first thing I thought of when I saw the beautifully twisted mind is, oh, John's going to be really annoyed by that. Yeah, I should send it to him.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm good. I mean, like, I'll still probably see it. And there's no way it's not better than the original, but just like...
It's almost impossible.
Fuck you. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, check out Harley Quinn. Maybe I will. That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's super fun. And they're very short.
A lighter show to watch.
It's really, I mean, that's kind of the plus of it. I've been reading a lot of kind of heavy books right now to try to get back my kind of literary brain a little bit. And so my TV, I want to be as light as humanly possible. And this has been, it has been good times. So, John, for next episode, I had an idea.
Hmm?
I was thinking maybe like some kind of a story about rings, like maybe like the Lord of the Rings, like somebody that quickly runs through and gets the rings.
Okay, I'm kind of interested in this. Mm-hmm. I think I know where you're going, but I guess what I would add is that, like, particularly after Zardoz, I want something that moves. I want something that's got to go fast.
Got to go fast, like quickly getting. Like, quickly becoming the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, if there's a way we could quickly do that.
Okay, like, well, all right. I do have that contract with Josh Hartnett that I had to bring him up on the next episode, so we can't do the Lord of the Rings. What about we do Sonic?
That sounds great.
Okay, good. Hey, Josh, he bought it.
You're talking about the restaurant, right?
I'm talking about the Upshot and Putter. I just made a Distelf joke. That, please cut that. Yes, I'm talking about the restaurant where you can get delicious burgers. Go to Sonic.
Mm-hmm. Love that burger restaurant.
I don't know what
nice Sonic is. Nice hamburger restaurant.
Is it? Are there burgers? I just guessed it was. I thought it was like some kind of milkshake burger throwback thing.
Yeah, it's a fast food joint. Yeah.
Oh, is it? I don't know.
Yeah, I've never eaten at one. I've just seen the ads.
Well, you're from fucking Toronto. I thought you knew these things.
Yes, it's not Tim Hortons.
Oh, yeah, it's important. Sonic, the same thing. Anyway, so we're going to watch Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie, starring that guy, John Raffio, mm-hmm. pet detective guy, Josh Hartnett,
That Josh Hartnett is not in Sonic.
Oh, fuck, really?
Yeah.
Who's in Sonic?
No, it's the guy who played Cyclops in the X-Men movie.
That's not Josh Hartnett.
No.
Oh, it's fuck
James,
you.
James Marsden.
Dude, that is, no, that's... I'm not trying to be racist here, but, like, all fucking white dudes look the same. That is fucking Josh Hartnett.
No, different guys.
They look exactly the same.
There's specific differences. One is named Josh, for example, and the other one is not.
Oh, come on. You know my theory about all whites being bestial and don't deserving names.
Yes. Well, if you want to know more about that, listen to the King Kong versus Godzilla episode.
Yeah, so we're going to watch Sonic. It's available on Amazon Prime. We're going to go fast. It's going to be like Speed Racer. It's going to be great. It's going to be inexplicably our first Jim Carrey on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Which, given our ages, it seems like that being like one of the biggest actors of the time that we were alive, we probably would have gotten to one of his movies by now. Apparently not.
Well, I think the issue is like once we started with one, like no one would have been able to stop him. Because he specifically asks for that, and
I got you. So when he says somebody stop me, it's not. Mm-hmm. It's like a call to arms of like, please. I have like a substance I have abuse no issue. Control. Yeah.
It's like in when Puff Daddy would rap, "Can't stop, won't stop." Mm. It's because he made a pact with the devil, and he's like, I cannot stop. Oh. I'm making this awful song for Godzilla the movie.
Like Lil Nas X.
You need to help me. Mm-hmm. Same guy.
Good. Well, he made a pact with the devil. Yes. Good. Blood things happening. Great. Go to Patreon, search for Alex Bolin. There's extra content you can find for us. We're on Twitter at Jaws Pod. Jaws like John Alex 8 stuff. Pod. And John Alex 8 stuff on the Facebook. Tell your friends. Share posts. Do things. Help us because, you know, look, let's face it. If you're listening to the show, you know how lazy we are. We're not going to do better than this. This is our advertisements. So it's kind of on you. If you want to be on the ground floor of something popular, that shit's in your hands, buddy.
Yeah. I mean, if we're lazy and don't care, but you guys are missing out on a chance to make this shit that we don't care about huge.
John,
and it's on you.
I care.
It is on you.
I just don't care enough to advertise.
Yeah.
All right, so that was it. Thank you for listening. I've been John. Yep. He's been Alex. And from all here in downtown Toronto, good light and good night.
To eternity. Goodbye.
Bye.